For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. After agreeing with the laborers for the usual daily wage, he sent them into his vineyard. When he went out about 9 o'clock, he saw others standing idle in the marketplace, and he said to them, "You also go into the vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went. But he went out again around noon, and around 3 o'clock he did the same. And about 5 o'clock he went out and found others standing around, and he said to them, "Why are you standing here idle all day?" They said to him, "Because no one has hired us." He said to them, "You also go into the vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his manager, "Call the laborers and give them their pay, beginning with the last and then going to the first." When those hired about 5 o'clock came, each of them received the usual daily wage. Now, when the first came, they thought they would receive more, but each of them also received the usual daily wage. And when they received it, they grumbled against the landowner, saying, "These last worked only 1 hour, and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the day and the scorching heat." But he replied to them, "Friend, I am doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for the usual daily wage? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to this last the same I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous?" So said Jesus, "The last will be first, and the first will be last." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The owner of the vineyard said, "Are you envious because I am generous?" Well, matter of fact, yes, we are. Here is this annoying little story that never fails to create a reaction. The apparent lesson is that people are not rewarded for what they deserve. Some of these vineyard workers show up an hour for work at the end of the day. They get paid the same as those who put in a hard day's work. It's simply not fair. Now, I know there are protections for those who work. Depending on where we stand, we may grumble, but we can expect this. First time I pulled into a service station in New Jersey and tried to fill up the tank, the owner came out and yelled at me, "What do you think you're doing? Put that nozzle back." Somewhat stunned, I did as he commanded, even though I was driving on fumes. Then he nodded at his worker, who was paid to pump the gas. That's the law in New Jersey. It preserves jobs. We understand, even if we grumble. A good friend was ready to set up a display at a convention center in Manhattan. It was the night before a major trade show. He paid for premium parking. He carried in his poster boards, the portable tables, all the sales materials, and they stopped him before he could plug in the extension cord. That could only be done by a member of Local Number 3, International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. So they nodded, the union electrician came over, with great dispatch, leaned down, plugged in the cord, and then sat on a folding chair for the rest of his shift. And the bill was astronomical. It might have been fair, but it didn't seem fair. Labor relations and labor disputes often raise the questions of fairness. What is a fair day's work? What's not? How much should the job pay? So Jesus tells about five different groups of workers, each punching the time clock at different moments. The first group is recruited at the crack of dawn. By 6 a.m., they are on the job. The next group is standing around in the marketplace at 9 o'clock. They're having a coffee break, and the vineyard owner finds them and then sends them off to the field, promising whatever is fair. At noon, perhaps he goes to the market to pick up his lunch, sees some more workers. Apparently, he has a really big vineyard, or he hasn't planned very well. And then he does the same at 3 o'clock and again at 5 o'clock, an hour before quitting time on the farm. According to the story, all of them have been idle, just standing around. The boss puts them to work. And this vineyard owner, he's really something. So you can imagine the excitement when the whistle blows and everybody calls it a day. The owner says to his paymaster, line them up, starting with the ones I hired an hour ago. They all line up, tuck in their shirts, stand tall, and at the front of the line, everyone is given $200 for an hour's work. Maybe, they think, maybe this is a mistake, but they don't say anything and they get on their way. And behind them, the line begins to buzz. The 3 o'clock workers are next. All of them are lined up, excited, enthusiastic, leaning forward. Each of them is given $200 for 3 hours' work. Now, it's disappointing in comparison, but that's still an exceptionally good wage for a few hours of picking grapes. So they don't say anything. Lest there be a problem, they take their money and go. Then the noontime workers, the buzz in the line has subsided, but they're hopeful that they'll be able to do better than those just dismissed. And imagine their confusion when each of them receives $200 for the half day's work, same as the 3 o'clock and 5 o'clock workers. If the 9 o'clock and the full day workers are paying attention, they probably know what's coming, but they're not happy about it. And indeed, when the payroll line began, they had watched these 5 o'clock workers receiving two crisp $100 bills. They began in their mind to multiply the numbers in their heads. $200 an hour times 12 hours, this is going to be a really good day. And when they saw the 3 o'clock workers each receive two crisp $100 bills, they thought, well, maybe he's just giving them a tip. By the time the noontime workers come and the others, the murmuring is across the line. And one of them is caught saying, if this cheapskate comes around tomorrow looking for workers, I'm going to hide until 5 o'clock. It just doesn't seem fair. Nobody is getting what they deserve. Now, most of us have eaten grapes, perhaps sipped a few, but none of us have probably picked them for money. However, we know unfairness when we see it. Some friends were recently discussing these gender reveal parties that announce if the baby will be a boy or a girl, and I think the context was that terrible disaster in California where a couple prepared to launch pink or blue colored fireworks ended up setting the desert on fire. So the woman said, I have a better idea. If we're going to announce a baby's gender, let's give everybody there an envelope with money in it. If it's a boy, make it an envelope with a dollar inside. If it's a girl, make it an envelope with 72 cents. and we groaned. To think that in this day, despite the good work of people like the late Ruth Bader Ginsburg, that there is still that kind of difference between the pay for the man and the pay for the woman. There are all kinds of inequities in life. We know this. You have your list. I have mine. I think of the two most capable young adults I have ever known. Each was bitten by a tick without knowing it. They contracted Lyme disease and other illnesses, and their health has been debilitated. That's not fair. I think of the woman unable to conceive a child for years. She went for surgery. They told her all was corrected. Now she can conceive, but she's been unable to carry a baby to full term. That's not fair. Or the smartest man in my entire lifetime, the smartest one, was stricken with a disease that robbed him of the ability to process thought or put together a sentence. It was humiliating for him, and it was not fair. Or the high school seniors denied graduations due to the coronavirus, or the third graders who now watch their teachers on a computer screen for the same reason, or those who have lost jobs in a shaky or defeated economy, none of that is fair. And you know in the parables of Jesus, there's always a yet. Unfairness is always a matter of perspective. Those 6 a.m. workers, they were in the right place at the right time. Same as the 9 o'clock workers, right place, right time, and they've been able to enjoy 2 cups of coffee in the marketplace. You ever thought that a lot of the good breaks in life are the result of another kind of unfairness? Ever think of that? I do. My life has been charmed just because of where and when I was born and who raised me. I was born white and male in a small town in America. My dad always had a good job. The family stayed intact. I was privileged to attend good schools. My entire life has been full of encouragement by people who actually love me. And any one of those details might have gone a different way. And when I'm tempted to say I'm blessed, I pause to think about those who haven't received the advantages that I have. Shouldn't they be blessed too? Because otherwise, all my privileges are unfair. And some of them, if not most of them, have been received at the expense of those who really might have had better lives if they could have had just a little more of the goodness that I now take for granted. Now, if we dare to confess any of this, we probably have to swallow pretty hard. And it pushes us, I think, to reconsider who we really are and how we got to the place where we live. That's hard work, but it's important work. It's essential work. In the name of Jesus, I think it's holy work. For instance, did you know that back when Matthew wrote down this parable for his book, there was a major squabble in his church? Some of the Christians in that congregation had been there a long time. 6 a.m.? No. They'd been there for 40 years. They were Jews who had come to believe that Jesus is the Messiah. And then later into that vineyard come others, Gentiles, new believers, who haven't put in their time. They don't know the Bible. They were holding their worship bulletins upside down, didn't know the difference between an introit and a benediction, and the gospel announces that they are equal with the rest. There are no differences between the short-timers and the long-timers. Not as far as God is concerned, all are one in Christ. Well, can't you see the old-timers squirming? Can't you hear them say, yeah, but? Can't you feel the anxiety rising among the very well-experienced when these newcomers arrive, not only with their fresh energy and enthusiasm, but the affirmation that they belong to? And to all this, we hear the owner of the vineyard say, am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or are you envious because I am generous? So I'm starting to think differently about this parable. Maybe the vineyard owner is onto something. For one thing, he did not rest until he got everybody working. If it were not for him, none of them would have had a job, much less pay for it. And for another thing, he made it clear that he wanted every single one of those workers. They were all there because he invited them. They were there because they were equally valuable to him. They were there because he believed they all had a place in his vineyard. So is this story unfair? I suppose it is. And the unfairness is rooted in the complete fairness of grace. Here's a vineyard that does not run on the seniority system. Here's a vineyard that does not reward some for longer tenure. There are no advancement opportunities in the vineyard. All the kingdom of heaven offers is the invitation to work and completely equal benefits. And that's so fair that it doesn't seem fair. Just picture it. Grandma pulls a big hot apple pie out of the oven. Three kids circle around. Now wait, she says, you can all have a big piece, but let it cool off a little bit. While it cools, she issues her plan. Now the oldest will take a knife and cut the pie into pieces, and the youngest will select the first piece, then the middle kid, then the biggest. That's not fair, said the oldest. I was here first. But it's Grandma, and it's her pie, and the plan sticks. Do you know what happens? Well, of course you do. The oldest kid gets out his laser-guided measuring stick just to be sure that little sister doesn't get one extra crumb more than he will, and those pie slices are exactly the same. That's what seems so unfair. And yet it's completely fair. In fact, it's so fair that if it weren't for Grandma, there wouldn't be an apple pie. Which is to say, everybody gets more than they deserve. And that's the good news. So this day, Jesus dishes up a parable about giving up all comparisons. The vineyard is a place where no one can say, I've been here longer, or I've been working harder. There's no need to compare or contrast or compete because it will never get anybody a better position in God's eyes. No, no, no. Let's just cut right to the bottom. We are here because we are wanted. And so are they. So let's just leave it at that. Live in love and fairness, because everybody belongs.